Glory.
Amen. Christ is mine. Praise God. I'm so glad. Old things have passed away. Yes, ma'am, Sister Linda. Yes, ma'am. Sure. Praise God. Thank God. Amen. Thank you for that testimony. And we don't, Sister Linda, we don't always understand the hand of God and how He moves. And, you know, I told somebody, well, I've said it several times, you know, it's not hard to have after the fact faith. It's beforehand faith. But you, if you have that same faith to believe, you know, when God does it, then we look back and say, oh, wow, that was great. God, you know, you just knew exactly what you was doing. But before He did that, sometimes it's, I don't know what thing, you know, what's going to happen. But God honors faith. And the ability to place it into His hands. And like you said, sometimes it doesn't work out exactly like we thought. But I will assure you, if God has His way, it'll be the perfect way. Amen. Can we just love the Lord for that tonight? Can you thank Him, amen, that God always has His way? Good to see you here on a Wednesday night. Hope that you're having a wonderful week. Amen. It's just good to be alive. It's good to be standing vertical. Amen. A lot of folks can't say that, but I'm very, very thankful. Went to the post office today, saw two people that I used to work with. They're still working, and they want to know what in the world was on my mind to make me smile that much. And I said, I have retired. And you hadn't. One of them said, well, he's on his way. He said, I'm right behind you. So I said, well, again, come on in, brother. The water's fine. Loving retirement, thanking God for His goodness and His mercy. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, let's go to the words of the Lord tonight, found in the book of St. Luke in the 22nd chapter. St. Luke chapter number 22. We want to begin reading in verse number 31 tonight. Read maybe 31 through 34. You Bible readers will certainly recall this time as Jesus spoke to His disciples and explicitly to Simon Peter. Verse number 31 in the 22nd chapter of the book of St. Luke. And the Lord said, everybody say that with me tonight. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Again, I tell thee, Peter, I'm a little hot up here, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how we love and thank you, God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your abounding love. Father, for those who have gathered here tonight, God, I pray that you would feed us that heavenly manna. Pray, God, that you would anoint, Lord, each and every need tonight. God, we know that the things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. And Father, we thank you for that. And we extend our faith to you, toward you, Lord. God, on behalf of those needs tonight, those that are just sick, those that are afflicted, those that are traveling, Father, we pray, God, that you would just intervene on their behalf. Ask you now, Lord, to anoint these lips of clay, God, this vessel, just to speak to us tonight, that you would have us to hear, that we might be submissive, that we might be obedient to your will and to your word. And we'll be grateful to give you all the thanks, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I'm going to use the handheld because I may do it tonight. Tonight I want to bring a message entitled, and bear with me because the message title that I have picked or designated may seem a little unusual at the beginning, but given the time, I hope that maybe I can convey to you what the Lord has laid upon my heart. If I had a message title tonight, it would be simply this: Not So Fast, Peter. Not So Fast. I love enthusiasm. I love folks with a zeal and an urgency to do something for the Lord. But so many times I think that we need, first of all, to be converted. Jesus' words here, and let's go back to what Jesus is talking about. Basically, if you look at the preceding verses, there seems to be a little bit of a, I won't say a heated discussion, but kind of a discussion among the disciples, and it gets to where, who's the most important? Who's the greatest? They knew that Jesus had told them that he would not be with them always, and that he was being prepared for a mission, and this was just after the supper of the unleavened bread, and you know, there was already a little tenseness among the disciples. And then maybe it began to elevate just a little bit, you know, that maybe because Jesus has called us, then maybe we're a little special. You know, again, I often tell, and I've told many, many young ministers that I've had a chance to talk to and maybe counsel in some way. I haven't known, and I still don't know a whole lot, but in 27 or 28 years, we have had some experiences that I think that maybe might be instrumental and beneficial to pass on to others. But one of the first things that I tell them is to go look up the word minister, and then, you know, understand and know that God has called you into a ministry of servitude. Amen. Minister is one who attends to the needs of others. So it is not a lofty position. Amen. It is a position that God needs a mouthpiece to speak. Amen. And when we understand that, then we won't be elevated in our own ego. And God can't use you if you exalt yourself. In fact, he tells you, if you exalt yourself, I will put you abase. Now, many, many times I have been put abase by the Spirit of the Lord, and thank God for that. May not be a pleasant situation when it's happening, but I will assure you it's beneficial after the fact when you learn that I can't do anything without the Lord, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So not so fast, Peter. Not so fast. You know, you got to understand that Peter was bold, and Peter, you know, I believe he really believed in his heart and his mind that he would never deny Christ, that he would go with him until the very end. He would be there as a constant companion. He would even lay down his life for the Lord. I don't doubt that the sincerity of Peter's testimony, or the fact that he was talking about that, I do not deny that at all. I really feel that Peter thought in his mind or in his heart that he would be that constant companion of the Lord, and through bad times and through situations. And he mentions that even in prison and in death, I'll go with you, and I'll be there for you. And that's the difference. I want you to understand that so many times when we think in our heart and we think in our mind that we're about to do something, or we're going to venture out for the Lord, first of all, we better make sure it's the leading of the Lord. We better make sure that it's God's will and not our will. So many times we venture out on our own and we find out that, Lord, you know, I've took a wrong turn here. I need you. I want you to lead me, and I want you to guide me where you want me to be. I want to fit in the body of Christ, but I don't want to be where I want to be. I want to be where God wants me to be. So Jesus is speaking to Peter here, and he listens very intently to what Jesus, or what Peter says. And first of all, he says Simon. He calls his name twice, and you know, I don't think he's doing that because he's stuttering. I think he's doing that because he wants Simon's undivided attention. Simon. Simon. Because many, many times when Jesus spoke, he wouldn't just use the one verily. He would say, verily, verily. You know what that means? Listen, listen. I'm about to tell you something beneficial. I'm about to tell you something that's going to help you. But he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you,
Now, if you look at that, I know it says the singular, but actually, if you look that up and run reference on it, he is speaking at plural. He's speaking to the entire group of the disciples. Because he's telling them, not he's calling Simon, but he's telling all the disciples, all of them that was kind of quarrelsome, all of them that was kind of having that discussion or that little bit of opinionated talk that they was doing about who was going to be the greatest, who was Jesus going to be able to depend on most, who was going to go out and set the woods on fire, and who was going to be able to be the mouthpiece of the disciples, and who was going to go out and convert so many people. In their mind, this is what they were thinking, and it's good to have those expectations. But understand and know that we have to have the leading of the Lord. And understand and know this too. It's not going to be an easy road. Okay? So many people think it's the greatest thing in the world to be called into ministry. But you have to be prepared. And the only way that you can be prepared is through the Spirit of the Lord. And we'll get to that in just a few moments. But he says, Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. In other words, he wants to just disband all of the disciples. He wants to take each and every one of you. He wants to cause dissension. He wants to cause discouragement. He wants to cause you to give your hands up and throw your hands up and quit. And when I'm gone, you're going to need something, amen, to lead and guide you. You're going to need something to be strengthen you. And he even mentions that to Simon. He says, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Now, when you're converted, amen, that believe with the Spirit of the Lord, the words of Jesus is telling him, well, after you're converted, and converted in Hebrew means to change or to turn about. How many is thankful? Amen, for conversion. Amen. How many is thankful you're not what you used to be? Amen. How many is thankful that God has brought you from that? Sister Penny mentioned it. Brother Walter was reading it from the book of Isaiah and talking about when we look in that mirror, when we begin to measure up ourselves and see the frailties of ourselves and see the inadequacies that we have. And sometimes we don't understand how God loved us enough and called us, amen, to be in the body of Christ. But I'm so thankful for conversion. I'm thankful for the redeeming power, amen, but I'm thankful that it was converted in my heart. I'm so thankful that God pricked and convicted my soul and let me know, amen, that I need to be more than a follower, amen. And can I tell you what I mean by that? For years and years and years, I was a follower. I would even say that I was maybe a devout follower. Maybe not because of my way, but because of my parents' way. I was a devout follower because I followed them to church. My daddy said it wasn't an option. Amen. Even when I was a teenager and I wanted to stay home, he said, no, it's not an option. We're going to church. Brother Walter, you were probably raised in the kind of same household that I was. It's not an option. Wednesday night was not an option. Sunday morning was not an option. Sunday night was not an option. But I want to tell you something. You can attend every church service and still not be converted. Amen. If church service converted me, I would have been converted at a very early age, but I was a follower. I actually participated. I began at an early age to play a guitar a little bit, and I remember that's how I learned to play the guitar, dragging my guitar to church and sitting on the bench up there at Rockmart Church and trying to follow Daddy when he would play. And, you know, I was always about three chords behind him. He was in G, and I'd see him swing over to C, and I'd try to get C, and he's done back in G. But persistence paid off, and finally, after years and years and years, I began to learn to sort of play the guitar, and I've always loved playing and making music for the Lord. But at that particular time, I was still not converted. Okay, I was a follower. I meant well. I told my granddaddy, who was a pastor, you can depend on me. I'll help you in any way I can. He had a little radio program, and I'd go with him, and some of the singers would, and there at Rockmart, and we would sing over the radio program, and then he would preach the Word of God. And, you know, I thought everything was going really, really good. In fact, I kind of patted myself on the back a little bit, and I said, you know what? I'm a pretty good church worker. But I wasn't converted. I hadn't been changed. Church was around me, but it wasn't in me. Come on, I tell a lot of folks, you really want a devout church goer, get church in them. Don't worry about getting them in the church. Get church in them. And I'm not talking about this just building. This building ain't going to save you. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about the saved, washed in the blood of Jesus, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those are the ones that have been converted. Those are the ones that you can count on, because they have realized that it is not in their power, it is not in their might, it is not in their intellect, but it is in the power of God that is with them. Amen. We need to be converted. Amen. We need to be born again. We need to be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So Jesus tells the disciples here, he says, you know, you're going to be sifted, or Satan would like to sift you as wheat. In other words, just kind of mess your whole life up. Man, when you're thinking you're whole, and you're thinking you're this, and you're thinking you're all that, amen, Satan would like to just get a hold of your life and just sift it away and let it fall through in little bitty pieces, amen, so that you won't have any problem, amen, for living for the Lord. You're going to just be falling by the wayside. And so that's what Satan wants to do. But you're going to need something to combat Satan. How many knows we need something to battle the adversary? How many knows I'm not a match for Satan? I am not. But I know that is within me is greater than he that is against me, is stronger than that that's in the world. I know the world's in a bad shape. I know Satan is having a heyday, but thank God he has given me something, amen, that I'm not going to succumb to the power of Satan. I'm not going to have what he's selling, amen. I wouldn't have been able to make that statement if I was still just a follower of the church, if I was still just going to kind of warm the pews, if I was just going because mom and daddy made me go. But thank God one night I got converted. One night, the power of God came upon me. One night, all of a sudden, all the sermons began to make sense. When I was a follower, sometimes the sermons didn't make sense because my mind wasn't on the Word of God. My power was not in connection with the Holy Spirit. Amen. But that night, amen, things began to click. How many knows what I'm talking about? That night, I began to have white knuckle fever. You know what that is? My man's was on the bottom of the pew, and I was thinking, Lord, have mercy. When he gets through preaching, I'm going to have to go to the altar. I believe my heart's going to about bust. It's coming plumb up out of my throat. I knew that there was a change going on. I knew something was taking place in my life. I was ready, amen, no longer to be a follower, no longer to just be counted around one of the sheep. I was ready to be born again. I was ready to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. I was ready to finally answer, here I am, Lord, save me. Thank God for conversion. But Peter, that hasn't happened to you yet. You've been a devout follower. You've been wonderful. You've been a companion. You've been someone I can count on. But you need more than friendship. You need more than just belonging. You need something in you that's going to change you. You need something in you that's going to convert you. You're going to need something in you that's going to get you through the bad times and through the sad times and through the situations when people ridicule you and people put you down and people call you all manner of names. You're going to need something more than just to be a follower. You're going to need to be converted. And then when you're converted, I want you to strengthen the brethren. You see, Jesus saw something in Peter. He saw leadership qualities. Let me tell you something. So many, many times we don't see leadership qualities, or qualities in ourselves. Many, many times we say, I'd be the last person in the world that God would want to put into leadership. But we can't make that call. Amen? Because God said, you know, if you exalt yourself, like I said, he'll put you abased. But if you're humble and abased, he will exalt you. Amen. He'll exalt you not for favor. He will exalt you, amen, for the furtherance of God's gospel and his kingdom and to strengthen brethren. Do you know that if you're filled with the power of God, you have an obligation to strengthen your brethren? When I say brethren, that means the household of God, that's men and women, children, whatever the case may be. We have an obligation to strengthen one another, confirm the feeble knees, hold up those feeble hands, and lift them up, just like Aaron and Hur lifted up the hands of Moses. It was Moses that God anointed, but you know, the battle couldn't even be won unless Hur and Aaron was on either side of him lifting his hands up. When's the last time you've been to a brother and sister when they're down and lifted them up? When you've been converted, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, not only you're filled with the Spirit, but you're filled with love and compassion, and you want to strengthen those around you. You want them, amen, to be full of the power of God. So Peter, you know, that's a good, you know, that's good aspiration. That's good expectation, but you're not ready yet. Not so fast. Not so fast. There needs to be a conversion take place. There needs to be something happen. In fact, Peter, I'm going to tell you. You know, you said you'd go to prison with me and you'd go to death. But before the morning and before the cock crows, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but three times. And you know the story. When they apprehended Jesus and they took him into the inner marketplace there, and they began to take him into the halls of judgment or whatever the case was, and many people were around there, and you know, Peter was a follower, but he followed way off. Come on, he wasn't sitting in the congregation anymore. He wasn't surrounded by the believers anymore. He was separated from Jesus, so he hid in the shadows a little bit. Then when somebody said, I know you, you're one of them, you're one of his followers, the boldness that just hours before he'd said, I will go to the prison with you, I'll even go to death with you, something happened, and he said, no, you're mistaken, I'm not one of them. Not once, not twice, but three times. Third time he cursed and said, no, I do not know that man, Jesus. Can you imagine? You see, it takes more than just good intentions to follow Christ. It takes more than just being a casual follower of Christ to be dedicated and committed to the service of God. But thank God that God doesn't throw us out when we fail. If that had been the case, I would have been without the Spirit of God today. Because many, many times in my life, I failed God. Many, many times I did not answer the call of God. For whatever excuse there was, and I thought I had some good ones, you know, and I said, no. Not ready to be converted. I'm not ready to. I want church to be a part of my life, but I don't want you to be my whole life, Jesus. You know, a lot of folks want Jesus in their life. They just don't want him to have control. You know, there was a song. I mentioned it in a sermon a couple of years ago. I guess I think I don't remember the artist. Don't remember the song. Don't even remember the tune. But the gist of it was, there was a room inside his house, this spiritual house, this temple. He knows this is the tabernacle. It's not stone. It's not brick. This is the tabernacle that Christ wants to live in. And in this house, there was a room that was off limits. Nobody could go there. Think about that. You say, brother, that doesn't make sense. Well, it does if you understand. There's things sometimes in our mind we don't even want to think about, much less even talk about. There's things in our past. And let me tell you something. When Satan comes and tries to sift you as grain, you know what he starts with? All this junk that you done got sanctified over, all of this junk that you done got forgiven over, he tries to bring that back up. And in this song, this artist said, there's a room in my house that nobody can go. And finally, in this song, he gets converted. He gets convicted. And he says, not only come into my house, Jesus, but come into my room. Come into that room where all those things have been hidden for so many years. Come into my room where there's been darkness. And come into my room that it has tormented me all of this many, many years that I've tried to live for the Lord. And Lord, I'm not only going to invite you to come into this room, but I'm going to open the door. I'm going to open the door wide. I'm going to let it all out. I'm going to put it right now. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for those things. But please, whatever you do, I want you to come into my room. Because I don't want you just live in my house. I want you to have access to all of my house, every part of me. Not so fast, Peter. Not so fast. I know you mean well. And I think you believe what you say. But you don't know what's going to happen when you're confronted with the world, when you're confronted with the adversary, when you're confronted with the things. And rightfully so, Peter feared for his life. Come on, let's face it. He was afraid that if he was recognized, they might do the same thing to him that they was doing to Jesus. Although hours before, it was a pretty good testimony. I'll go to prison with you, Lord. I'll stand by you. I'll even go to death with you, Lord. But when he was faced with those consequences, when it was staring him right in the face, the flesh took over. Why? Because he hadn't been converted. He hadn't changed. It takes more than just being a follower. But how many knows that Peter repented? How many is thankful for repentance? I don't know about you, but I love to read the Psalms. I love to read the writings of David. If anybody in the Bible knew how to repent, it was David. And you know what David was called? A man after God's own heart. Amen. Not a one of us is perfect. Amen. That's the reason we need repentance. That's the reason we need forgiveness. Amen. And Peter, I believe, repented. But Jesus told them when he went away, he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem until, say that with me, until ye be endued with power from on high. Glory to God. Because something's going to come. Something's going to change you. It's going to convert you from just being a follower. It's going to convert you to having power and strength and an anointing. Glory to God. That you'll never be able to get in this world. You'll never be able to get within your own power. You'll never ever be good enough to get it. Amen. You can repent. You can ask the Lord into your life and you can receive it. Amen. It's a free gift. You don't have to buy it. It's been paid for on the cross of Calvary. Jesus bled. Jesus died and was resurrected so that we can be converted, so that we can be filled with something that's going to give us power. There's something that's going to cause us to be able to stand when we're more than just followers. We become believers and we become the children of God, anointed with power from on high. I know. I can tell you that there was a change in Peter. Not just a casual change. How many, without raising your hands, can remember the night that you was in field with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the day, or the hour, whatever it was? You didn't have to run out and tell everybody. They'd say, something's different. You remember that? Something's different. You look different. There's something changed about you. Yes, amen. I'm no longer just a follower. I'm no longer just a casual churchgoer. I've been redeemed. I've been filled by the Spirit of God. What a change, what a difference it made when Jesus came into my life. There was a change in Peter. How do we know that? Because not long after that, Peter stood up boldly. He said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. He said, this is that. How many is thankful? This is that. Amen. That the prophesied by Joel. This is what Jesus was trying to tell me. This is why he said, you're not ready yet. Wait till you be converted. And when you're converted, you'll have the power within you. Thank God for the power that is within me. Because can I tell you this? When the power gets within you, amen, you can rely on God. You don't even have to be in the church house. Amen. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the gathering. For the Bible says, forsake not the gathering or the fellowship, you know, coming together and praying one for another and all those wonderful things. But thank God, His Spirit is now within me. Because can I tell you, some of my greatest trials doesn't happen when I'm in the congregation. Some of my biggest conflicts are not here when I'm surrounded by brothers and sisters who love me. Sometimes my greatest problems are out there on a one-on-one situation. But that's when I can rely on that is within me. Hallelujah. Because Mother used to sing a song, said, I got something that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for the converting power of the Lord? Glory to God. The reason I know that Peter had a change and was converted and he was different, because he was one of the 120 who was in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Amen. When there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and it filled all the house. Amen. There was a lot of people changed that day. Glory to God. For the better, by the way. But I think the greatest testimony to give me the understanding and the fact to believe that there was definite change in Peter when he was accompanied by John. They were going up into the temple to pray at the hour of prayer. Now, I don't believe, I really don't. The Bible doesn't specify, but I don't believe that's the first time Peter had been to church. I kind of think he was a devout Jew, so I imagine that he had been in the temple at the hour of prayer on many occasions. But after the upper room experience, Brother Walter, church looked a little different. How many know? Church felt a little different. Glory to God. Maybe when he was walking up, and maybe he had walked by this same old beggar time and time again. And, you know, when you don't have anything to give somebody, you can't give them something. Amen. How many knows what I'm talking about? And I'm not talking about money here. Amen. If that had been the old Peter, he might have not had anything whatsoever. In fact, he might have just passed him by. But I believe he recalled something. Jesus said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. When thou art converted, spread the gospel. When thou art converted, come on, reach out to the lost. When thou art converted, lift them up. When thou art converted, go into the house of worship with a new attitude, with a new spirit. Amen. And I believe this Peter was changed from the old Peter because he looked upon him and he had compassion. And he said, silver and gold have I none. Oh, I love this part. But such as I have. I don't believe he could have stated that a few months prior. I just don't believe he could. He may have wanted to. He may have desired to, but he had something in him now that he wanted to share. He had something in him now that could not wait. Amen. He had something in him that was freely given unto him, and he was going to freely give it unto somebody else. And he said, I don't have any silver and gold, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. Amen. And the power of God was upon him and healed him. Glory to God. Because this was a different Peter. He may have looked the same. He may have walked the same. But if you could look in his inward parts, there was a glorious transformation. The Bible says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How many of we know we need the infilling of the Spirit of God? Amen. We do. God loves us. His desire is, you know, he doesn't want to see anybody perish. But he knows that we can't make it on just our goodness. He knows we can't make it on just our church enrollment. He knows we can't make it on just our trying to be a good saint. We need his spirit. We need his power. We need the infilling, amen, of the glorious power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory to God. Not yet. Not so fast. Something happened on the day of Pentecost. I believe now that Peter truly meant it. Because not only was he true to his word, he became a devout follower of Christ. He preached Jesus Christ. Amen. He went about doing the will of the Father. Amen. And he even did. He gave up his life. Amen. For the gospel of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that there's a transformation that can take place, that does take place? Many, many folks today, with good intentions, have become casual followers of Christ. They believe in Christ. They believe the Bible. They believe the Word of God. But so many times they fail to realize that they need Jesus in their life. Come on, they need Him. I need Him. I can't make it without the Lord. As that song says, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. But I'm so glad he loved me enough. He said, I won't leave you. I won't leave you comfortless. How many is thankful for that? He will not leave us comfortless, but I will send a comforter in my name. Thank God for that comforter. Thank God for that transformation. Thank God for that redeeming power. Thank God for his precious redeeming blood. Amen. If you love Jesus with all your heart, all your mind, give him a great big hand clap of praise tonight. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love and appreciate you, Lord. We thank you so very much. Glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You might say, Brother Eddie, that's kind of an evangelistic message for a Wednesday night. Well, I got news for you. I can only bring to you what God gives me. He didn't say, you know what, I'm sorry, that's a Wednesday night service. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. I just had to give to you and deliver it, because I've messed up before trying to deliver something myself that I didn't think was the right time, and boy, did I take a beating for that. Amen. So all I can do is deliver to you what the Lord delivered to me. Amen. Would you stand? Well, can you play it fast? G. Just play it fast as you want to, and I'll catch up. I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible says. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible says. Well, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. My soul got happy, now I'm satisfied. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Just like the Bible, just like the Bible, just like the Bible said. The words are easy. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible says. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible says. Well, I've been to the water and I've got baptized. My soul got happy and I'm satisfied. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Just like the Bible, just like the Bible, just like the Bible says. We're giving praise in the house. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother Jim, would you come tonight? Amen. God bless you. We love you.